This call is being recorded.
Good morning. Welcome to Declare Victory. This is Bubbly. She's online. Good morning. Welcome to Declare Victory. This is Bubbly. Happy Saturday. She's on the call.
Good morning, it's Sister Veronica. I was listening to the music.
Hey, good morning, Sister Veronica. Happy Saturday to you. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure y'all were being heard. All right. Good morning. Welcome to Declare Victory. This is Bubbly. Happy Saturday. Who's on the call? Good morning. Welcome to the Clear Victory. This is Bubbly. Happy Friday. Who's just on the call?
Good morning. Happy Saturday. It's Krishanda.
Hey, good morning, Krishanda. Happy Saturday to you as well. Good morning. Welcome to the Clear Victory. This is Bubbly. Happy Saturday. Who's just on the call?
Good morning, Bubbly. It's Susie.
Hey, good morning, Susie Q.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm hanging in here.
Good morning and welcome to Declare Victory. This is Bubbly. Happy Saturday. Did anybody else join the call? Good morning. Welcome to Declare Victory. This is Bubbly. Happy Saturday. Did anybody else join the call? Good morning. Welcome to Declare Victory. This is Bubbly. Happy Saturday. You just joined the call. Good morning. Welcome to Declare Victory. This is Bubbly. Happy Saturday. Anybody else join the call that would like to say good morning?
Good morning. It's Lucille.
Hi. Good morning, Lucille. Happy Saturday.
Thank you. Happy Saturday.
Pardon?
Good morning, Mrs. Diane.
Hey, morning, B-Y. I got your
word. Good morning. Happy Saturday.
Happy Saturday. That was so cute. Yes, it was yesterday.
Happy Saturday, Bubbly. This is Barbara Lola.
Good morning. Good morning. Oh. What it do? What it do? What it do? What up, bro? Bro E. I think I heard. I think her name is. Let me see. Somebody from Lodi. I'm sorry. So could you repeat that? Because I'm trying. I couldn't hear you.
Good morning, Miss Bubbly. This is Barbara out of Lodi. God bless everyone this morning.
Good morning, Barbara from Lodi. Good morning. Happy Saturday.
Happy.
Good morning, Bubbly. Juliet.
Hey, what you do?
Good morning, Victory family. Happy Saturday. Love y'all. It's Pam.
That's Pam. I know who that is. Good morning. Happy Saturday. That's so much easier for me to see. Thank you. Oh, my God. Oh. Good morning. Welcome to the Clear Victory. This is Bubbly. Happy Saturday.
Good morning. It's Pretty Patrice.
Hey, Pretty.
Hi, Bubbly.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for asking. How are you?
I'm wonderful.
Hey,
man. A little leapy, huh?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, really. Yeah. A little bit too much birthday.
Did you enjoy your birthday, sugar?
Oh, I did.
I saw that cute T-shirt. That was too cute.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Over 60 and fabulous, honey. Amen. God be the Lord.
Amen.
Good morning and welcome to the Clear Victory. This is Bubbly. Happy Saturday. Did anybody else join the call? I would like to say good morning.
Good morning, it's Sister Tracy. Good morning, everyone. Happy Saturday.
Hey, Sister Tracy. It's Happy Saturday. Good morning and welcome to Declare Victory. This is Bubbly. Happy Saturday. Good morning. Welcome to Declare Victory. This is Bubbly. Happy Saturday. Is anybody else joining the call that would like to say good morning? Good morning and welcome to Declare Victory. This is Bubbly. Happy Saturday. Is anybody else joining the call that would like to say good morning?
Good morning, Bubbly. Good morning, family. It's Nikisha.
Hey, Nikisha.
Hey.
Okay. All righty then. Thank you. All righty. Well, family, it is 6:05, so I'm going to go ahead and start the hosting. So, good morning. Hello, my name is Deborah, a.k.a. Bubbly, and I am your hostess this morning. Thank you for joining us here on Declare Victory. We are a prayer call that meets Monday through Saturday, starting at 6 a.m. Pacific time to edify, empower, encourage, and equip you in your walk with Christ. Please feel free to invite your friends so that they can be blessed too. Tune in daily in March as the teaching theme will be intentional growth, higher, deeper, wider, stronger. You do not want to miss the teaching, lessons, and messages that the declarers are preparing as they hear from the Lord for His people. There is one announcement this morning. Wings of Love is having a special program, 6-hour prayer service with special speakers on the last hours of Jesus Christ. Our very own Eric Smith will be a featured speaker. Amen. There will also be praise dance, music, communion, foot washing, and a agape feast afterwards. The date is Saturday, April 6th. From 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Wings of Love. Ooh, Maranta. I'm going to mess this up. Sorry. Maranatha Ministries, located at 7007 MacArthur Boulevard, Oakland, California. We hope you can attend. I didn't see any prayer requests on the app. The order of the call this morning is the declaration will be by Lisa Porter. Praying and corporate praise will be done by Brother Eric. Then we will go right into the closing comments hosted by the declarer. I will repeat that. The order of the call is the declaration will be by Lisa Porter. Praying and corporate praise will be done by Brother Eric. Then we will go right into the closing comments hosted by the declarer. At this time, we ask you to put your phones on mute until instructed to come off mute. I now pass the call to the declarer for the day, Sister Lisa Porter. But peace and blessings. Have an awesome day, everyone, as I pass the call.
Good morning. I pray you can hear me okay. I have my speakerphone on, and I am not at home. So do I sound all right?
You're fine.
Good to
me, honey.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Happy belated birthday, Bubbly. Thank you so much for hosting with your fabulous self. Thanking God for you and your life. And I appreciate you. I believe how to pronounce that name is Maranatha. I'm not sure, but I think so. So excited about what God is doing through the lives of his people, through the lives of the people he's connecting me to, which is you, through you, my Declare Victory family, and how God has joined us together and fitly joined us together, and how we are there for one another to strengthen and encourage and build up and edify so that we can all become everything that God has called us to be individually and collectively. So good morning to you all and welcome to you all. Thank you for sacrificing your time this morning. This Saturday morning, if you're anywhere like the climate where I'm at, it is pouring down rainy. It's been raining for quite a while, and this is not my final position. We can actually leave here and go down to Vegas, or is that over to Vegas? Anyway, so pray for safe traveling for us this morning. And please remember to mute your line as we go ahead and get started. So let me open up in prayer. Father, I thank you right now in the name of Jesus for who you are and what you're doing in the lives of your people. I thank you for you being God, and sovereign and in control. I thank you, God, that nothing catches you off guard or by surprise because you are outside of time. I thank you that you already know the end from the beginning. I thank you that you are a way maker and that you said everything right and you do all things well. I thank you, Father, that you're working everything out together for our good. Somebody called in this morning and they need a word from you, or they just need some encouragement, Father. I pray that you speak, Holy Spirit, have your way. Do what only you can do. Touch our lives, penetrate our hearts, change our minds, Father. Conform us and transform us to the image of your Son, Jesus. I thank you for what you're doing. And we expect more, God. We just expect more. So we ask you to enlarge our capacity to receive more of you. And we thank you. It's in Jesus' name that I yield to the Holy Spirit and just say, have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we are doing deeper, stronger, wider, higher. And immediately when I heard what we would be talking about, I thought about this particular scripture, this particular, don't forget to mute your line, this particular passage I'm going to share with you this morning. And I'm not sure, I've been on the call, I'm always on the call, actually. I come on a little bit late sometimes, but I'm not sure if anybody, or I have to get off early primarily because of work. I'm not sure if anybody has talked about this yet, and maybe everybody's just avoided it because it was so common. It is the prayer of Jabez, right? Just a little bit of history back on that. It's been in the Bible forever, right? It's in the book of First Chronicles, chapter 4, specifically just two verses, smack dab in the middle of like lineage and tribes of Israel. And so it almost seems like it's out of place. these two verses. But, you know, nothing's out of place with God. He knows exactly what he is doing. And maybe the prayer, the person, Jabez, was so significant that when they were doing the lineage and calling out names, they just had to stop and give him a little special attention or a little bit of extra recognition for him being who he was, which is honorable, and I'll get to that in just a minute. So if you remember, maybe some of you were part of this movement, back in 2000, this guy named Bruce Wilkerson, he came out with his book, The Prayer of Jabez, and somebody's alarm system or your smoke detector, it just beeped, that's you, please mute your line. The Prayer of Jabez, right? He wrote this book, and what it did was it started this huge movement. And you know, anytime you start a movement, moving forward, advancing, right, enlarging a territory, going forth in what God has called or given you to do and created you to do, you're going to have some haters, right? So there was a lot of controversy that came out from this book. It became a national bestseller on the New York Times list. He sold over 9 million copies. I mean, he started traveling all over the world. Churches were naming their church the Church of Jabez. There were keychains. There were more books written about it, journals and, you know, devotionals and children's education, all kind of stuff. And the primary thing was that people were grabbing hold to this Prayer of Jabez because of the Bless Me Indeed part. And one of the, I guess, might have been the foreword, the preface of the book, he was saying, or in the back of the book, it drew people in. And you know that sometimes it's kind of hype to get you to read the book to pick it up because they have to grab your attention. He was telling people, if you want to live your best life, if you want to be blessed, if you want to have everything that God has for you, this is the key. If you read this book every day, this will open up God's blessings towards you, something to that extent. You can read it for yourself. And so he got a lot of criticism and a lot of flack for that, because then they started saying that he was, you know, this is part of the prosperity gospel movement, and that, you know, this was like carte blanche kind of, you know, prayer, and, you know, nothing intentional. It wasn't what this was intended. They were saying that even Jabez, his prayer was selfish, and that, you know, this is not something we should be teaching people to pray, or Christians specifically to pray. Listen. When I was reading that stuff, I was like, you know, it's really amazing how when God has something for us to do, there will be some opposition, right? And what it is that 9 million copies is no little small thing to ignore. And so what those people that came in and criticized, you know, that this wasn't given to them. And if you actually read the book, that's not the intent. That's not the whole purpose of the book about bless me, bless me, bless me. It really breaks down a lot of things for these little two verses, right? It's a small compact book. I can't even find mine, but there's audio copy on YouTube. You can even listen to it. But people will come and they will actually try to ride the coattail of your 15 minutes of fame. I know it's not about the fame, but your 15 minutes on the platform, your 15 minutes that God gives you the spotlight to speak the truth that he's put inside of you, right? And we know we're not doing it for our own purpose or our own agenda. At least we shouldn't be, or at least we should get to that point where we recognize that, right? But they will come in and try to write something based on, you know, what you're doing, and try to correct what you're doing, and try to get a little bit of time out of what spotlight has been placed on you to do what you've been called to do. So just be mindful that there will be, I don't even care for the term haters. It doesn't even matter. I mean, I'm just saying people are just people. It is just a simple fact of life that people will be people, right? So he got a lot of flack for that. But nevertheless, there were a lot of testimonies of people being blessed. Now, you know that we can take stuff to the extreme. So praying the Prayer of Jabez every single day might be that vain repetition, especially if your motive is not right. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that this morning. So let me go ahead and read you the two verses, smack dab in the middle of 1 Chronicles 4. And it's verses 9 and 10. And it says, and Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore thee, or bore him with sorrow. And Jabez called on God, on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou would bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou would keepest me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. Now, first and foremost, if that had been a selfish, insignificant, I'm going to start from the bottom. I'll go back to the top. If that had been a selfish, insignificant waste of time prayer, first of all, I wouldn't have been thrown smack dab again in the middle of lineage on both sides in this book of Chronicles, right? Talking about who begat who. One point. Probably the primary point is God would not have blessed this prayer if he found it to be selfish, right? He would not have granted his request if he did not know Jabez, his heart or his intention or his motive for asking for what he asked for. So I want to just look at these two scriptures. First of all, the name Jabez means sorrow or pain. So depending upon where you're looking for to get the information, it means sorrow or pain. So Jabez being pointed out, that name is also a town or a place or a province over in Judah. So listen, Jabez being pain, he was more honorable than his brethren. Now the scripture and commentary doesn't talk about brethren like brothers and sisters being born of blood. He could be brethren. You know how we have brethren in the community, brethren in the church. It could be that. So exponentially, it could have been a couple of brothers and sisters in his family, but it could have been, you know, his congregation, wherever they were, the synagogue where they were worshiping. Among the brethren, nevertheless, he was considered honorable. He had favor. It doesn't talk about what he did or why he was honorable. It just says that he was. So it makes mention of that, meaning that that has to be important. That has to be something that stands out. Nevertheless, he was born in pain. He produced or brought forth pain when his mother gave birth to him. And isn't it something that when we cause people pain that they can turn around and inflict pain on us? You know, names were very important in the Old Testament specifically, and they called people, named people what they were really calling them into being. And so for her to call her son pain, this is something she really labeled him with. She put this on him, and as a result, he was experiencing and manifesting self-fulfilled prophecy, as he's been called sorrow or pain. Obviously so, because when he wrote this, he was what they say, an adult, right? May not have been old, but he was a man. And being having to live with a label all of your life, especially something like pain or sorrow, is not an easy thing to deal with. And somebody on the call this morning might be feeling like, you know, I've been having, you know, tough time after tough time, and I can't get a breakthrough. As soon as I, you know, feel like I'm getting up and take one step, I feel like I'm getting knocked back down, you know, two steps. And so what I would say is just make sure that you remember Jabez was honorable, but you as a child of God, you've been declared righteous. So recognize that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and that when you pray, God hears your prayers and he will grant your request. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that before I close. So looking at Jabez, he was honorable. Maybe it was because he came out of the lineage of Judah, which is praise, right? And he also came down through the line of Caleb, which Caleb's name means faithful. So we already know Judah with praise, everything goes better with praise. God says he inhabits the praises of his people. He desires us to praise him. So coming from that lineage, you know he was taught something about praise. And then Caleb, you know the oral traditions before the first five books, the Pentateuch, the Tanakh of the Old Testament was written. They did oral traditions, and they told the stories from generation to generation so that they would not forget their God and not forget what he had done, nor but they forget the victories that he had brought them through. So I'm sure they were talking about Caleb, and they had mentioned how he was one of the 12 spies, and that he was one of the ones that says, let's go, we can take them, we can go and pursue the land, we can go and possess that land that God has given us. But of course, the other 11, that was Caleb and Joshua, the other 11 were, sorry, that's my sister. The other 11, the other 10, excuse me, were hesitant, and they were fearful. And side note, I just read recently and heard through Daily Audio Bible, I believe it was, that those 10
Remember the 12 went, those 10, they died, right? And I think they died before the rest of the other people died off and did not make it in the promised land. So there's really something serious to not believing God, especially when he shows you and tells you what you have in your hand, what you possess, what belongs to you. And he has told us, don't get scared though, but he's told us that he has given us everything in this life that pertains to life and godliness. We possess it, right? Not only that, this same God that raised Jesus from the dead, he lives on the inside of us by his spirit. So what is it that's too hard for us? What is it that's stopping us from going forward? What is it that's keeping us from believing that he is who he says he is, the true and living God, and that he is the great I am, and that he can do all things? And so therefore, because we are in him and through him, we can do all things through the Lord Jesus Christ that gives us the strength and the power, right, to do all things. We know Paul was talking about, you know, being okay with what situation he was in as far as financially and everything. But that scripture with application, because greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. He gives us the power, the authority, the ability to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, to cast out devils and demons in his name, that we can tread upon serpents and scorpions and by no means shall anything harm us. He called us victorious. He said that we were more than conquerors and overcomers. He said that about you. I'm sorry if you hear background in the background. My sister decides she wants to wash dishes this morning. Amen. Praise the Lord. So Jabez, his mother, labeled him. Are we labeling our children? Are we calling them something and not even realizing as they manifest what we've called them long ago and maybe still today, but now that we know better, we're doing better, so we're not doing it. So because we have come into agreement with whatever thing that was that might be negative, now's the time we need to talk about coming out of agreement with those things. So disowning the thing that we've set in motion, coming against that thing, now turning our back on it and saying, I no longer partner with you because you, I recognize, was a lie from the pits of hell to get me off track, to get my children off track. Maybe it was a lifestyle. Maybe it was a thought pattern. Whatever it is, we have the responsibility and the ability, because of the power living on the inside of us, to do that thing now and get things right and come into agreement and line ourselves up with the word of God. And it's not as hard as we think, but the devil would want to make us think that it is. In fact, he would try to tell us that it's impossible. But Jabez, he cried out unto God because he didn't want to be known as the one that caused sorrow or pain, or he didn't want to live a life experiencing pain. Maybe somebody's stuck and they just feel like, again, that I'm never going to get out of this rut. I'm never going to not be the, you know, black sheep. I'm never going to have what everybody else is having around me. Well, I'm telling you this morning, that devil's been lying and tricking you and all of us, actually, to an extent, for long enough. Being honorable, being righteous now, cry out to God and ask him for what you desire that you know is contrary to what his will is and his word is for your life. You have that privilege. You have that privilege. He says, we have not because we ask not. So Jabez, he called out to the Lord. Maybe that's why he was honorable, because he was a praying man. You just cleared your voice. Please mute your phone. He cried out, maybe because he was honorable, right? Because he was a praying man. So he prayed to God. We pray. We're here on a prayer call this morning. And he said, oh, that thou would bless me indeed. And so as I was looking at commentary, the indeed part is like, if you would only do it, I'll make a vow that whatever you bless me with, I'm going to turn around and bless others. This is not what the scripture says, but you can really apply it in your life and make an application that if you do this thing, God, now how many of us have said, God, if you get me out of this, I promise I won't, whatever, right? Jabez was saying, if you do this, if you bless me, I know you are the blesser. I know you are capable. I know you are able to bless me, but not only bless me, but bless me indeed. If you do that for me, because you're the one that gives out blessings, if you bless me, I make a vow This is what the Old Testament did. They made, I guess you would say, unconditioned. This is conditional promises. They themselves made conditional vows to God. God, if you do this for me, I'll give you my life. God, if you do this for me, I'll give you my child. You remember Hannah? God, if you answer this prayer for me, I'll dedicate him back to you. God, if you just allow this to happen, right? And it's not a form of manipulating God. It's not a form really of even bargaining with God. It comes from a sincere place. And God will honor those things that he knows when the heart is right in it. And how do we know when the heart is right? Sometimes we don't, because we get desperate, but he does. So there's no harm in asking. Bless me and bless me indeed, God. This is a vow that I make. If you bless me, I won't turn around and think that I did this thing on my own, and I won't be trying to make my name great, or I won't be trying to advance my own agenda or make my own brand. God, if you bless me, and you bless me indeed, if you open up my capacity to receive more of you and from you, then I promise I'll be a conduit to get what you get to me through me. Bless me and bless me indeed. That's the first thing he said. The second thing, enlarge my coast, right? When you think about enlarging, and I think that's why this scripture came to me, to enlarge means to make room for, to make wider, to increase in capacity, right? To give us an opportunity to, if you will, have influence and more influence. So looking at Jabez praying these things, it didn't necessarily mean that he was being selfish and asking for things for himself. So when you're praying for God to increase your capacity to receive more of him, that's not selfish. He wants to give us more of himself. And just when we thought we had enough and had it all, there's more for him to give to us, right? So if we're asking him to increase our capacity to receive more of him, how much more would God not give us good gifts, because he's a good father? And he knows that we need more of him, but he wants us to desire more. He said, if you seek, you'll find. If you knock, and, you know, the door will be open. Ask, it'll be given unto us. So he is desiring for us. He said, if we hunger and thirst after righteousness, we shall be filled, or we shall be fed. Early in the morning will I seek you, which is David said, right? It's early in this morning, y'all. We're seeking after him, and we're desiring more of him, that we might know him, as Paul talked about. In the fellowship of his suffering, and in the power of his resurrection, that we would desire more of him. Enlarge our capacity. Dr. Phil, Minister Phil talked about, you know, enlarging our heart. Enlarge our heart capacity to receive more of you, God, so that we can love more, that we can agape the proper way, that we can entreat our brothers and sisters the way that we should. Because really, the first commandment and the second are the primary ones, that we would love our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then that second being, liking unto it, that we would love our neighbors as ourselves. And so how many of us can honestly say that we love God with everything in us, every single nook and cranny, every single thought process, every single even part of our past, every part of our being? As if our breath depended on it, can we say that we really, really love him? And truth be told, do we really, really know him? Because God is love. Enlarge my capacity to receive more of you. And not only that, enlarge my influence on people. So we talked about being light and salt and fruit. So as fruit reproduces, as we're connected to the vine and remaining in the vine and staying there and abiding, right, we will produce fruit, and he prunes so that we can produce more fruit. But everyone that does not produce fruit, he cuts off, right? He does say that. Well, what about the fruit that we are producing? What kind of impact? What are we imparting? What kind of influence are we having on people? As our territory is enlarged, our sphere of influence has been expanded or broadened, how are we influencing people? It really does begin in our home. How are we impacting our children? Now, don't get me wrong, they make their own choices, and they have their own free will, but still, Are we reflecting Christ before them? Even when they blow it, because we did too, right? And it didn't stop God's love for us. That's never ending. That never gives up on us. That's something to think about. And I know that's hard because oftentimes we have great desires for our children. We want so much for them. But when they don't make the right decisions, we got to remember that we didn't make the right decisions. And what we have to do is cover them in the blood, Lord Jesus, and ask God to keep his hand upon them. So, Jabez, let your hand be with me. The hand of God represents power. It represents authority. It represents even other scriptures, help and protection. That's like God having us in the palm of his hand and nobody being able to snatch us out, us being sealed with the seal of promise that we belong to him and that we are his children and that he has us covered, held securely and tight. When God's hand is over you and he blesses you, can no man curse you? I don't care how they try. No devil, no witch, no warlock, no curse, no nothing is more powerful. When God is for you and for us, he is more than the whole world against us. And so as we pray, not only for us, God, keep your hand upon me. God, keep your hand upon our children. Help them to see, God, who you are. Help them to recognize. Father, keep your hand upon our nation. You have the heart of the king in your hand. Turn it towards you, Father, in the name of Jesus. I recognize that some things we're experiencing is a direct result of our own choices and disobedience. But God, we cry out unto you because you are able to bless and bless indeed. And you are the God of all blessings. Crying out to God because we are the righteousness of him in Christ Jesus. We've been declared righteous, something like honorable. We have favor with God. We can go boldly before his throne of grace and obtain mercy and find favor in the time of need. And I don't know about y'all, but I need him for some stuff right now, and not the tangible stuff. Let me, or he says, keep me from evil. You remember the Our Father prayer, how the Lord Jesus Christ taught his disciples to pray. And down towards the end, it says, keep me from the hand of the evil one. Oh, excuse me, doesn't say hand, but keep me from the evil one. It says, keep me from evil, but more original text talks about keep us from the evil one. And we know who the evil one is, right? So Jabez is saying, keep me from evil. Keep me from experiencing, and he's not saying like, never ever experiencing pain or never ever experiencing evil. We know that's unrealistic. In this life, you will have trials, you will have troubles, you will have tribulations. But even for Jesus, for God to say, but be of good cheer, because I've overcome the world, I've overcome all that stuff that you are going to face, that you're facing right now. My plan for you is far greater than that. And this didn't come to take you out. In fact, it actually came because I allowed it so that you could be pruned and purged and that you could learn a lesson in this thing so that you can be better equipped to stand. So when I get you to the door, you can walk through it. And when you walk through the door, you're able to stay because that stuff has been removed from you that would have disqualified you or got you kicked out. Selah. Keep me from evil. Thank you, Father, for keeping us from the evil one. Thank you that you have us safely under the arch of your wing. Thank you that you have us covered. Thank you for having your hand upon us. And keep me from grief. Keep me from pain. Keep me, even one thing that I read a while ago, keep me from causing pain, right? Because hurting people hurt people. Keep me from inflicting pain and keep me from influencing people with negative stuff. Keep me from being the one that's always being a downer and not being able to speak life or being positive and speaking life into dead and dry situations. Keep me from being the naysayer. Keep me from being the hater. Keep me from being cynical and critical and judgmental. Keep me from being doggone religious. Show me how to love, God, the way that you do so that people will know that you're real, that they'll be able to experience your sphere of influence in our lives. Because he said, greater works
greater, meaning in quantity, not quality. How can you do something greater than raising somebody from the dead? It has to be in quantity, greater works, because exponentially we have been multiplied as believers and saints. They started with 12. It really started with one. Started with 12, and then they went out to the hedges, highways, byways, and compelled people to come in so that his house would be filled. And that, as a result, trickled down 2,000 plus years later to you and me, how today we are saved, and now we have the responsibility, the authority, and the power to be his witness. Greater works shall you do as your sphere of influence has been enlarged to impact your community, to impact your home, to impart in and to impact your children. That your territory be enlarged, not just for you, but for the kingdom. Right? So you have not because you ask not. And then James talks about that we ask. And we don't have because we ask amiss, because we ask so that we might consume those things on our own lust. God said, if you regard iniquity in my heart, I'm not going to hear you. He also talked about in Proverbs that whoever shuts out or his ears to the poor and doesn't care for the poor, they themselves, they won't be heard. So there are some things that would stop us from being effective in our prayers, because we already know that the fervent, effectual prayers, or the effectual, fervent prayers of the righteous availeth much, right? There's much things that we can get accomplished and get done, even in our own sphere of influence. So in converse of those things that's hindering our prayers, God said, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, and his desire for us is that we would be blessed. Beloved, above all, I would that thou would prosper and be in health, even as thy soul would prosper, over in First John, somewhere over there. Yeah. He desires for us to be blessed, for he knows the plans and thoughts that he thinks towards us. He knows our future and the expected end that he has for us. How much more, with us being evil, know how to give good gifts to our children? How much more would God not give good gifts to them that ask, to his children? Over in Matthew, he talks about that. Again, I said this earlier, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Matthew 7:7. Again, back to that 1 John 5. If we ask anything according to his will, we know that he hears us. And not only does he hear us, but we have the petitions that we desire of him. Oh, Lord, that you would bless me and bless me indeed, that you would enlarge my territory, my boundary, my coast, that you would keep your hand upon me so that when you get me to my blessed place, that you're able to protect me and cover me and help me and keep me there. And then, God, that you would keep me from evil, because evil is lurking at every hand trying to pounce on me as he gets an opportunity. But I thank you that you're a keeper, for you're able to keep us from falling. And not only that, but to present us faultless before your presence with exceeding joy. Thank you for that. That I may not experience grief, but I recognize that you are the comforter. You are the God of all comforter. I will mourn. But you said, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. The grief that he's talking about doesn't necessarily mean the everyday life grief. Yes, we have grief in this life. We mourn, we sorrow because we lose loved ones. Lose is probably not the right word, right? But loved ones pass away, they transition on. This kind of grief, unnecessarily, we don't have to go through some of that stuff based on some of our choices. Keep us from that kind of grief. And God, thank you for granting my request. I pass the call.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for today, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the gift of life. And with this gift of life, Lord, you've once again reminded us that we have purpose, Lord. Lord, we thank you for this awesome declaration, Lord, that was obviously thought out and well planned and inspired by your spirit, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We ask, Lord, that you begin to pour back into Sister Lisa, Evangelist Lisa, Minister Lisa, all that she's given us, Lord. And Lord, I would pray that you would enlarge our spiritual digestive system so that we would be able to receive all that she has declared, Lord, and to get every nutrient out of these words of wisdom, these words of life, Lord, and that it would be put to good use, Lord, and carried to all parts of the body. So, Lord, we thank you today, Lord, because you are God, and you are God all by yourself. And so we give you praise, we give you glory, we give you honor, Lord, because you're worthy. Lord, we thank you today, Lord. We come, Lord, to you, Lord, in places of victory, Lord. We come to you today, Lord, in places of pain. Lord, we come to you today, Lord, in places of power, Lord, in places of powerlessness. Lord, we come to you today, Lord, in places of despair as well as places of the hope, places of despondency. Lord, we come to you today in places of doubt, Lord. Lord, we come to you today, Lord, even in places of unbelief, Lord, places of ignorance, places of wanting, Lord, places of fear. But we come. We come to you today, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for this privilege, Lord, to enable to intercede and to speak on behalf of my people, my family, my tribe, my friends, on this declared victory, Lord. And so, Lord, I come to you humbly but boldly before the throne, Lord, placing at the feet of my Savior, Lord, each and every prayer request, Lord, those that were spoken, those that were unspoken today, Lord, asking you today, Lord, to honor them according to your will, for your will is perfect, Lord. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit, Lord, that is even now spell checking my prayer, Lord, because of my place of finite knowledge, Lord. I don't know what to pray for, exactly how to pray for, Lord, but I thank you that the Holy Spirit takes my prayer and takes our collective prayers even now and makes them right, Lord, and brings them through the Father, through his Son, Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, today, Lord, we thank you, Lord, and we ask you today, Lord, without going any further, to forgive my sins, forgive our sins, Lord, places where we have missed the mark, Lord, places where we have been found wanting. Forgive our sins, Lord, intentional or unintentional, Lord. Wash us once again, Lord, clean with the blood of the Lamb. So, Lord, I ask you right now, Lord, to enlarge our vision, Lord. For your, Lord, your word calls us, Lord, to take the vision and to run with it. So, Lord, I ask, Lord, that you would enlarge our vision, Lord, to see, Lord, beyond just the borders of our ministry, Lord, but to see past of what is and to see into the what shall be and the what can be and the what will be according to your will, Lord. Not to see with eyes, Lord, but to see with faith and to walk by that and to walk boldly, Lord, and purposely towards that vision, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would enlarge our purpose today, Lord. Beyond this call, Lord, beyond our prayers, Lord, beyond our day-to-day activities, Lord, even beyond our church activities, Lord, until we become what you have made us and purposed us and designed us to be, Lord, even before the foundation of the world, Lord, as we go forth, Lord, to be the greatest of ambassadors, Lord, of the greatest of statesmen, Lord, that our purpose is to be found, Lord, not just in our families or even in our collective bodies, Lord, but as we go, Lord, enlarge our purpose, Lord, so that we may one day stand before kings and potentates, Lord, dictators, Lord, and despots, governors, Lord, and that our voice, our message and our voices should be heard, Lord, from the alleyways, Lord, to the suburbs, Lord, from the outhouses to the State House to the White House, Lord, and even past that, Lord, even to the United Nations. that our commission is to spread the everlasting gospel to every tribe, every tongue, every nation. Heavenly Father, Lord, I ask, Lord, that you would enlarge our hearts, Lord, and enlarge, Lord, our ability, Lord, to feel for the hopeless, Lord, for those who don't know you. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would enlarge our appetites, Lord. Lord, as your word says, that the deer panteth towards the water, Lord. We pant, Lord, and we desire, Lord, to be totally filled by you, Lord. Filled to overflowing, Lord, that your spirit would always rest, rule, and abide, Lord, and be activated. Feed us, Lord, from the bread of heaven till we can stand no more, Lord. And even then, Lord, help us, Lord, to desire you all the more. Better relationship with you, Lord. A better walk with you, Lord. A greater conversation with you, Lord. Fill us today, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord. And so, Lord, as I open up this call, Lord, let us come together right now, collectively, Lord, raising our voices, Lord, in praise, glory, and honor to you, Lord. I invite everyone
to bless your holy name, Jesus.
Cry out, Lord. Hallelujah,
your
Lord.
Holy name, holy Jesus.
The greatest praise, glory,
and honor,
Lord.
And honor to you,
thank
Jesus.
You today, Lord. Lord, together, Lord, we lift your name up high, Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You
hallelujah.
Are hallelujah.
We give you glory. We give you honor, God.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Thank you for this morning, God. Thank you for the gift of life, oh God. Thank you for the activity. Thank you for being in our faith body, God. We honor you.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your mercy. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your mercy. Jesus. Hallelujah. Every Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord God. Hallelujah. We won't quit, Lord
bless
God.
Bless them, Lord. Enlarge the blessing.
Glory, hallelujah, Lord God. We reference you this morning, Lord God. Oh, thank you, Lord God.
Oh, hallelujah.
We reference you this morning, Lord God. We give thanks, Lord God.
Hallelujah, Lord. To those, Lord, we would see, Lord, to those we would touch, to those we would speak to and for, Lord. May you ever enlarge us, Lord, until that day that you come and that you usher in this new kingdom. Until that day, Lord, now you come and you would speak the words, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You've been great over the least of these things. I will make you great over many. Enter thou into the glory of the Lord. Until that day, Lord, we will give you praise. We will give you glory. We will give you honor on this day and in the days to come until our very last and dying death. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen as I pass the call.
Amen and amen. Thank you, Brother Eric, for that awesome prayer and ushering us into his presence. If I could sing for you guys, I'd sing Donna Laura's song. Bless me indeed. Enlarge my territory. And when we sing it, hopefully now we'll be thinking more about enlarge my territory, enlarge my capacity, bless me indeed so that I can be a blessing, enlarge my capacity, my reach, my extent to reach people, God. Thank you that it's not about me. It never has been about us. Good morning. Welcome to the call. Did anybody join the call that would like to say good morning that you didn't get a chance to say so?
Oh, yes. Hi. Good morning. It's Mona.
Hey, Mona. Good morning. Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning. This is Amelia.
And Jamila.
Hi, Amelia. Hey, Jamila. Hello, precious one. Good morning. Hey, Jamila. Anyone else? Good morning. Welcome.
Good morning, bitches. Good morning, family. This is Pam.
Hey, Pam. Good morning, sis.
Good morning.
Good morning, Gloria.
Hey, Gloria. Good morning, Gloria. Hey, Brother Jeff. Good morning, Sarge.
God bless you all this morning.
God bless you, sir.
Happy Saturday. It's Dondria.
Hey, Dondria. Good morning.
Good morning. It's Barbara.
Good morning, Barbara. Anyone else? Amen. Well, good morning to you all. I know I didn't say maybe a lot. I actually ended earlier than I normally do, so praise the Lord. I just wanted to hopefully bless you this morning and remind you that you are blessed and that God hears your prayers. And that he wants us to cry out unto him and that we are really blessed to be a blessing. Was there anything said that needs clarity that you would like to discuss or that stuck out for you this morning? The floor is open for your comments.
Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning, sir.
As always, you did not disappoint that you really have fed us this morning. There was a lot, and I mean, you really enlarged. Now, as I was praying, I was like, enlarge my mind to really understand all and to really get everything that you did. You gave us a lot of word. I love the story of Jabez. I love the history. I do remember... I do remember when that book came out, and as All the Fury came out, and I remember saying to myself, you know, what is this about J-Bass? You know what I'm saying? I'm always kind of leery. You know, God's word and God's work is good, whatever you go to. But I'm always leery of things that come out and that seem kind of faddish, because it's almost like a shooting star. It lights up for a while, then it burns out. Because I can remember the whole "What Would Jesus Do" movement, and you know how that sparked for a minute, and then it died out. But I guess, you know, that's just part of our nature, you know. Just, you know, we grab hold of things and then after a while they die out. But I would pray that, you know, my walk and that our walk here or declare victory would be more consistent. I think it's important to be more consistent, you know, instead of just hot or just cold, you know. And God talks about that in Revelations, you know. But I guess he does desire to either be hot or cold, but to be consistent in what we do. You talked about J-Bass and the meaning and being, you know, he was called Pain. I don't know, you know, I can understand maybe because, you know, the pain he caused his mother during childhood, and how we've had labels placed on us, not just by our parents, but, you know, in our experiences, maybe growing up, you know, how we've been labeled by our parents or by our loved ones, you know, into, you know, labels of, you know, you're not good enough, or, you know, we don't look a certain way, you know. But the wonderful thing that I got about J-Bass is that he did not allow his label to define him and to confine him, and so that he was able to push past that and to go to God and to ask God to give him something that would push him past that which he thought about himself or what others thought about him, you know. And so that part enlargement that really got me. You know what I'm saying? And that I can pray to God and say, you know what I'm saying, enlarge my territory, enlarge myself past that which I even expect of myself. The things that not only people have spoken to us or labeled us, but the things that we've spoken to ourselves, the things that we've labeled ourselves that keep us from really operating in the full potential of what God designed and purposed us to be. So that prayer becomes very important to me in that aspect. Enlarge me, Lord. Keep drawing me out of my place of comfortability. Keep making me uncomfortable. And we talk about growth this month and everything. And keep me in those growing pains. You know, because if I'm having growing pains, and me and my wife we're experiencing that right now, you know, and the doubt and sometimes the fear that comes with that, you know, the feeling of being overwhelmed, you know, when God gives you that vision and you kind of like move your feet, not as quickly as God wants because you're feeling uncomfortable, you know, and so that prayer comes to effect. God enlarge me by whatever means, whether that you got to push me or pull me or place me in situations where when I get tired of the pain, I'll go ahead and do it. So just thank you. There's a lot, but that really spoke out to me, and I don't want to keep up all the time. But as always, wonderful declaration. I love you, sis.
Oh, thank you, brother. I love you, too. That's it right there. When we have the labels on us, again, J-Bass was a man. He was not a child, right? So when we get tired, that's the last thing you said. When we get tired of being defined by that label, then we're going to do something about it, right? And J-Bass knew what to do. He cried out to God. He went to the one that was able to change, right? Not his name, you know, this didn't change his name, but he changed, he granted his request. It doesn't say how he did it, but he did. And that's amazing that we can get so much out of just two verses, right? And yeah, you're right. The whole fat thing, I think those things started off with the right intention, but you know us, we just gonna hype up something and commercialize it and market it and sell it and, you know, ride that thing till the wheels fall out and get what we can off and get what we can get out of it. So that WWJD, you know, I was wearing my little bracelet and I meant that. What would Jesus do? And while the momentum was going, I really stopped and thought, and I think that helped to create something in me. Before I do some things, you know, is that really cool with him? Like, really, would he be doing that when stuff is just not absolutely clear in the Bible, right? Even though everything is, there are a few little areas, I don't have to name them, that really don't specifically speak to that thing, right? But what is the nature and character of Christ and the Holy Spirit telling me about how it would be, right? And what would he do if he was here, and how would he entreat that person? And so for us, with our capacity to receive more of him, we have to make room for more of him. You can't put new wine in old wineskin, right? So for the things that have held us bound, the things that have been there that has residue in the bottom of the jar, you know how you move it around and mix it around and it dissolves and gets mixed up, but you let it sit there, that little sediment sits to the bottom, that little residue that stays in the bottom until you wash it out, right? And be intentional about getting it out. That kind of stuff, we have to get rid of that kind of stuff and allow him to penetrate and permeate, and then fill us with new wineskin. So we're talking about always unlearning some things, but that's part of him purging us and cleaning us and transforming us and reforming us, if you will, and washing us through the word, going through that process of being made new. We are new creatures in Christ. So that old stuff, it didn't just fall away, but being very intentional as he is filling us with new wine, that we can contain it, that our vessels are ready to receive, and that our capacity is being enlarged, stretched. Yeah, and it is hard sometimes, and we do, I get it, shuffle my feet a little bit and say, are you sure, God? And he just said, keep on going. And that's the times when he's like, get out the boat. I got something over there just beyond where you are, and I need you to come get it. Actually, go get it, because it's already been done. Thank you, Brother Eric. I just love and appreciate you and Sister Juliet. Anyone else have anything?
Yes. Good morning, Sister Lisa.
Good morning, Brother Jeff.
There's a couple things, you know, that stood out for me as well in your declaration this morning, even though I was sort of dozing in and out. But when you shared about how those folks that was hating on the writer of the book and talking about how Jabez's prayer was a selfish prayer. And, you know, you pointed out that, you know, it couldn't have been a selfish prayer because God granted him
desire.
You know, and the fact that the haters was hating on the writer of the book, and the book blew up. It sold copies all over the place, you know. So that part stood out for me, and I was like, yeah, Jeff, one day God gonna bless you with your 15 minutes of fame, you know, and he gonna use you for 15 minutes. Just give me platform and speak through me, Lord, for 15 minutes, you know, and let me help somebody. The other part, you talked about how Caleb and Joshua, you know what I'm saying, they stood on God's word and the other 10 didn't. And they perished away. They never did get a chance to enter in into the promised land, you know. So it's, my God, that stood out for me as well. It's important for us to trust in God's word and stand on it. Like Jacob and Caleb did, you know. So great declaration. Like Brother Eric said, I always get so much out of your declaration, and I just thank God for you.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Jeff. I thank God for you, too. And I'm excited about what he's doing in the lives of all of us and how he's growing and stretching and enlarging our capacity. And the cold part about that 15 minutes, Jeff, is that, you know, a day is as a thousand unto the Lord. So 15 minutes is not just literal, right? So it's a lifetime that he wants to use us. And our platform does not have to be behind a pulpit podium, right? Oftentimes it begins in our home, but really it starts in our heart. So amen for the 15 minutes. Amen for the platform. Amen for the influence that we will have as our capacity has been enlarged and now wider and broader is our reach. For him. So selfish prayers, isn't it something how when man tries to label something and qualify and disqualify stuff, and God put a stamp of approval on it? Okay, another side note. He already forgave us of our sins, but who are we to keep throwing that stuff back in his face when he sent his son to pay the price for it and declared that you are now righteous and no longer condemned? Therefore, now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. You're not condemned by that thing that you did. It doesn't define you because you've been labeled by it. It's a lie. Cry out to God. Request that he changes your mind, enlarges your capacity and your vision in the spirit to see that you are who he says that you are. That's going to take some work. The work is sometimes falling on our face and getting before God and recognizing that he wants us free. Actually, he set us free. He was waiting for us to recognize it. So who are we to disqualify who God has already qualified? Who are we to count out who God already knows from the beginning and sees the end where they shall be? How can we shut the door on someone God has opened the door wide open to and said, come in? Wow. Amen. Thank you, Brother Jeff. Anybody else have anything?
Yeah, I just want to piggyback on something Jeff said. When you talk about that Caleb and Joshua, and sometimes when God enlarges our, we ask God to enlarge our territory, and we stay on God's word. Joshua and Caleb had to wait those 40 years too. They had to go through the additional 40 years until God allowed all those naysayers to die off, those 10 spies and the rest of the generation that operate out of fear and didn't want to go into the promised land. You know, I just thought about sometimes when we ask God to enlarge our territory, that doesn't mean we're going to get it right then and there. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of times when we're doing ministry or we've got a purpose, you know, we may be with some folks, man, that's going to keep us. Well, I won't say keep us, but we're going to be walking with some folks that are not going to see what we see, and sometimes we're going to have to suffer, just like Joshua and Caleb did. We're going to have to be long suffering, but if we hold on, we hold out. You know, eventually Joshua and Caleb did get to go into the promised land, and I love the story about Caleb, even when he was 81 years old and they were parceling out the land, and Caleb said, "Well, give me that land that was in the high. You know, that land nobody wants. You know, I worked that land." Even at 81, he was still trying to enlarge his territory, but not the easy way, but the hard way, because that was his personality. So I just think that, you know, when we ask God and when we ask God for vision and for purpose and to grow me, that to understand that, you know, we're going to have to go through some things. We're going to have to deal with some people. But, you know, eventually, if we just keep on what God has us, that eventually we'll get it. You know, we just have to keep on pressing.
Amen. Amen. The saying I'm just hearing about, you know, I set before you death and life, blessings and curses, choose life, right?
our choices that we make, we know that all things are working together for our good. We absolutely know that God's plan and his way is best for us. But getting to that process land, going through the process may not be like you said, and we've experienced that by trial, not always easy. But nevertheless, remember what Jesus said or what was written about him. He endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. Man, he already knew what he had to go back to. So I think because we are sometimes hindsighted, without clear vision, just like Elijah and his servant, when he couldn't see that those that were with them were more than that were against him, if we can only remember that, and that requires our capacity to see what God is doing beyond the natural, to know that he's for us. His hand is upon us, right? We don't even have to ask. It's already done. He has angels encamped about us to keep us in all of our ways. He is absolutely with us and declared that he would never leave us. That part about our capacity to receive more of who he is and what he's already done and yet doing, right? But it's already done for him in our lives. So in spite of the difficulties, this is when I believe to some extent how David was able to encourage himself in the Lord. He looked back on when he was just a young lad out there tending sheep and being a shepherd and protecting the sheep and, you know, killing the lion or whomever came up against him. He remembered those things that God had done when he was seemingly nobody and his 15 minutes was not on the platform. He was still in his moment. But he was writing love letters and songs to God, psalms, right? Nevertheless, he remembered what God had done for him. He remembered the God that he said he loved and served, and he encouraged himself in the Lord. But sometimes there's not going to be anybody around to encourage us in God, but we still have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us. And we just can't forget. And scripture talks about forgetting not thy benefits. The benefit, it's part of the benefit package we have in Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Brother Eric and Brother Sarge. Anybody else have anything?
Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning.
This morning, Amelia woke up and she said, Mommy, are you going to turn on the prayer line? I was like, amen.
Thank you, Amelia.
Like, amen. And then you were talking about Jabez, and you know, I was praying with someone and he had asked that I pray the Jabez prayer over him, and the Lord would not let me do it. He was like, the Lord said he wants the benefits without going through what he went through. And I said, oh wow. So I just prayed that God would increase his territory. But when you don't know what a person been through, and you're just looking at what God has given them,
yeah,
you have to be mindful, you know, of all. Amen. Before you pray, for sometimes you don't know what you even ask for, you know. Forgive me, Father. I don't know not even what I'm asking for.
Yes. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mom.
Amen. Thank you, Jamila. I appreciate you and love you. I wanted to call you about something. My sister asked me for something. I'll check with you and your mom. Side note off the call. Yeah, it's incredible how that's why I believe that, you know, had me to talk about the book and the people that were criticizing him for writing. And like I said, the catchphrase that he used to draw people in that might have been sounding like a name it and claim it and a, you know, prosperity gospel thing. But if you really listen to his writings in the book, he goes more in depth, and it's just not on face value, which we sometimes judge a book, you know, by the cover, right? Instead of opening the book and reading it literally. But not knowing what a person goes through, that's why I believe, first of all, I included about, you know, James, you know, our motives behind why we're asking. Are we asking for an enlarged territory so that we can be big and great? so that we can shine, right? And so that our name can be great. Well, maybe that. Go ahead. Go ahead.
No, or to spread God's love, His love. Jesus.
Right.
Love.
Yeah. What's the motive? Yeah. Increasing our influence, increasing our sphere, increasing our capacity, increasing. When I say sphere of influence, it's like now that I used to just speak to, and I think I don't know if Brother Eric or somebody yet, but Eric was talking about it in his prayer. You know, I used to reach my family, and now it's my community, and now it's beyond my community, and I'm going to the nations. And yes, He put me before kings, and you know, as He can trust us, I believe with that capacity that has been enlarged, He will enlarge it. I mean, He has. He's done it time and time again. But what will we do when we get there? And if we're not careful, that old prideful demon will start kicking in, you know, that old boastful, lustful, whatever it is, those issues that we need to deal with now before we get there, so that when we get there, it doesn't kick us out, right? It doesn't raise its ugly head and manifest itself, that rotten fruit we've been talking about, that stuff that Paul talks about, that sin that so easily besets us, it gets us caught up. And as soon as we get, you know, to the place of where we know God has blessed us to, here comes that old rotten integrity and character that, you know, we haven't dealt with and we haven't played, right? So the motives behind what we are asking for and why we are asking. And so we don't have the right to disqualify anybody except it be by the Holy Ghost that tells us, like you said, right? Because it looked like, on face value, that Jabez was very selfish, because it was like five eyes in there and me. And we know that whole Ezekiel with Satan getting kicked out. It was I, me, right? We hear that all the time. Well, maybe y'all don't, but I hear that all the time. You know, it was about him and what he wanted to do and how he wanted to, you know, be as great or greater than God. And we see what happened to him. He got kicked out, right? So even in this, to look at it face value, if that little last part of verse 10 was not there, we'd probably be judging him too, saying that's selfish. But listen, it made it into the oracles, the written word of God, forever to be read. And God granted his request because he knows our heart.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Janina. Anybody else? Good morning. Go ahead.
Hello?
Thank you. Yeah, there's two people. Who's that, Juliet?
Yeah.
Okay. I think I probably need to come off speaker. I think it's probably causing a problem. Okay, Juliet. And then who else was that after Juliet? Okay, go ahead, Juliet.
No, I was just thinking, you know, I prayed that prayer once I, you know, got the book and I prayed that prayer for like, I would say a year. I had a prayer partner. We used to pray it every day. We had like six P's, but I forgot them because it was so long. It's been a long time. That went along with that. And I, you know, at some point I kind of got discouraged because, you know, my motives were not right. I would say, you know, you want your territory to be enlarged. But just, you know, listening, just thinking right now, where I am right now, and I was thinking, you know, him enlarging my borders. And of course, the borders of influence, that's what I was thinking back then. But what I'm about now is that, you know, God knows what's best. Like you were saying, to be able to have that new wine coming to, you know, to old bottle, it would just bust. And I feel like the territory guy, you know, looking at it in retrospect, like now he did answer my prayer because he enlarged the borders of my heart. He enlarged the borders of my mind. You know what I'm saying? Because the way I think now and the way I feel now, you know, as far as my love for him, because when we love God, then the borders, you know, your borders begin to become enlarged naturally. You know, it's like the smiles, the genuine, when you say, I love you, you say, you mean you love them, right? It's like, you know, those type of things. Or then, you know, the mind, you know, through experience, you know, I learned the word Jehovah Jireh, but I had to experience the word. you know, him and you know what I mean? So that, and I feel like that the prayer is still in operation, right?
Yeah.
Eventually, the borders will enlarge when it comes to the, you know, the influence, not for myself, but for just what God, you know, using the gifts and the talents God has given me to as He wooed me, to woo others, you know, to Him, you know, to others to Him. But back then, you know, you pray sometimes, you know what you're praying for, right? And I didn't realize what I was praying for, but as I'm looking at it now, He's answered my prayer, right? He really has, because got what I thought I needed back then, I probably wish, no telling what I'd be doing right now. No telling if I'd be, you know, I might be having to start from scratch or just, you know, don't know. You know what I mean? So I was just thinking about that. You know what I mean? I was just thinking about, you know, even meeting my husband, you know, large, that was right there. That faith walk. That was enlarging the borders of my mind, you know, enlarging the borders of my heart, you know. So,
that's incredible how, again, when we pray, we set things in motion, right? And just because we stop praying about it doesn't mean it has not already entered into, you know, the heavenlies. It does not mean that God has not already set things in motion according to what we've been praying, just because we moved on to something else, right? So we came into agreement with that thing, and you were sincere at that time. So be it unto you according to your faith, right? We pray according to our measure of faith, right? So we, at the position where we are, I believe God honors that because, you know, we don't know no better to a lot. This is my thought about it. Sometimes we just don't know no better. So that grace and that mercy, even in our incapacity to receive what He has for us, He meets us right where we are. And so what's been set in motion, we after we stop praying about it, we forget, but we are seeing the manifestation, not only of our prayers, but of prayers that have been prayed for us, right? And as we continue to grow and go deeper in Him, and He expands our borders and our capacity to receive more of Him, the less we're going to recognize of ourselves. And believe me, that's a good thing. Right. So we can look back, and sometimes we don't even stop and do inventory and see how God has really began to do the work in our heart and change us by His Spirit. We don't even recognize how we maybe used to take a longer time to pop off, and now it don't take so long. Or maybe, you know, we used to cuss people out, and now curse words don't come out of our mouth. Maybe we used to, you know, didn't have no problem doing booty calls, and now we recognize who we are and that our body belongs to God, and that it's His temple. And so we stopped that a while ago, and we didn't even make a conscious effort to do it. Sometimes it wasn't even intentional. Some things are absolutely, and they need to be. Some things just kind of fall off. And you just look back and say, I don't even trip off of that no more. That's that part of growing and maturing and Him increasing and moving and advancing us towards, you know, purpose and in Him. Yeah. Even now.
Powerful. You know, you made me think about that song. Somebody prayed for me. You know what I'm saying? We're living off the wind of somebody else's prayer. That might have been in the same place, you know. Might have only been, Jesus helped them. That was it.
Yes.
And we're still living on that, right? Because we're talking about how small the story was. Jesus helped them. That's all they said. And here we are.
Hello, right? Because He knows our thoughts are far off. He knows when we can't even articulate it. In fact, He said we got groanings and moanings that He understands. Yes. I can understand what they talk about on a wing and a prayer, right? We just hold it, crying out to Him. Lord, enlarge my territory. Yeah. Amen. Thank you, Juliet. Anybody else have anything? Does anybody else remember that whole Prayer Jabez movement? And you want to talk about it, maybe?
You know, Lisa, I remember I remember reading the book, and the book is, you know, small enough so that anybody can read. But, you know, I think we got caught up. We got caught up into, you know, when he talked about what God began to do. But then not many of us may remember, you know, his feelings of being overwhelmed. You know, when he talked in the book that, you know, all of a sudden I think he was going on a missionary thing, and how, you know, he had a few students. I think he was a student or he was leading students. And then that number just grew just so exponentially. He was like, wait a minute, Lord, I don't know what to do.
Right.
You know? Mm-hmm. And God reminded him, said, well, you did pray enlarge your territory. And, you know, and you know, that's part of it. You know, with the enlargement of our territory, we have to be prepared to deal with those feelings of overwhelming. But, you know, that's just stretching us, you know.
Yeah.
I can enlarge my ministry, you know what I'm saying? And then all of a sudden, you know, I have, you know, instead of just two people, you know, I might have 200, you know. And then, you know, I got to think about the logistics and being able to lead 200 people as opposed to two, you know, having 200 people expecting to me. I think about, you know, Bishop T.D. Jakes, and he said how for how many years, you know, when he first started off, you know, he only had like, you know, 20 people, or even Acts, you know, in Oakland,
yeah,
Bishop Jackson, he started off with, and then, you know, he's got over 4,000, you know, 500, you know, with that, you know, you have to think about, okay, where am I going to put all these people? You know, what, you know, I'm going to have to deal with not just where I put all these people, but how I'm going to deal with all these personalities. You know, how I'm going to, you know, deal with all these situations. You know, with the enlargement of territories, it becomes the enlargement of problems, the enlargement of the details. So, you know, we have to be prepared to deal with all that. But we have to have faith that when God enlarges our territory, he's going to give us, like I think you prayed and you talked about it earlier, he's going to give us the resources.
Amen.
So, and the enlargement and growth experience itself will be instructional and it teaches us also, so that when our territory is enlarged again, as it will be, you know, we'll know how to deal with those things and we'll have the experience to deal with it.
Yes, sir. You made me think about a whole bunch of things, particularly scripture, right? So to whom much is given, much is required, right? And he that called us, he's going to thoroughly, has already, he called us to that thing. So he's thoroughly equipped us. And think about this. When he does call us, we have to use wisdom to go to God and say, I need help. Look at Moses. When Moses was leading the children of Israel out, I think they said it was somewhere around 2 million people, might be more, somewhere between 2 and 6, but I'm hearing 6, but that's Holocaust for sure. So somewhere it was millions of people. Right, that he was leading out. And Moses was like, I can't handle this. I need some help. He's talking to God. I need some help. He probably didn't say it like that, right? But he said, I need some help. And so God said, okay, go and choose you 70 men. So therein lies the wisdom, right? If we allow the wisdom of God, he will show us the Holy Spirit. He says, if we don't lean to our own understanding, acknowledge him in all of our ways, God said he would direct our path. But the Holy Spirit is there to lead and guide us into all truth and to show us the way to take. So as we're leaning to our own understanding, thinking that we got to handle this thing all on our own, God has given us the ability to get strategy. Right. But sometimes I think we try to figure it out by ourselves and we try to handle it by ourselves. And we act as if we are the ones that got the increase because of our intellect or our charisma or our talent. Well, no, some plant, some water, but it's God that gives the increase. And so he would not send those people to us for us to abuse them or to neglect them or not to properly handle them. So we have to go back to God, just like Solomon did, and ask, how do I entreat your people? Teach me how to lead your people. I think David was excellent. That, right? We have example over example over example on how to go to God to get the wisdom, because if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. But he has also implanted in us the ability, the capacity to do what he's called us to do. And I think sometimes we don't think about that, and we allow what we see to overwhelm us because that's human nature, right? I know I said a lot. That was a lot for me. Thank you, Holy Spirit, because that just made sense to me, that it's not about me. It's what he called me into. And so as he's equipped us to do what he called us to do, we can do it, but not on our own strength, not by might, not by power, but by his Spirit, saith the Lord, that we are able to go and possess all and conquer all. And do everything he set before us. He would not have given us an assignment if we were not capable of completing it. Because he knows what he has put in us. He knows how he built us. I think a while ago, we don't hear her very much. Valerie did. We built for this. Greater is he that's in us, and he is in the world. So there's nothing too hard for you, beloved. Because you can do all things through the Lord Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ that gives you strength. And because he gave you an assignment, you're equipped for it. And I think it's a good thing to think that we can't, because that keeps us in his face, the one that can. And then we don't get so puffed up and big and grand in our own mind thinking that it's us. And that I did this, and I'm here because of I worked hard, and I went to school, and I got the degree, and I'm smart, and I know whatever, right? Some of us, my money did this. Some of us are one paycheck away from, you know, being in trouble. Some of us, it's the job, thank God. That he gave us the job, but do you have other sources of income? And if that job goes away, what's going to happen to that prestigious power and position that you have? And recently on my job, side note again, some our top level has been changed so much, and directors have walked away, and CEOs have taken, you know, time off and not coming back. And this stuff right here is so temporal. And for those of us that are believers, we would do good to stay in God's face. And if he don't bless me, I don't want it. Because you know that devil has a way of offering you a 15-minute of fame, but at the end, we're going to have to pay. Okay. Amen. But when God blesses us, again, can no man curse us. You remember that conversation with Baal. He was a prophet. But he was so, I don't know what was wrong with him, but he had the gift of prophecy. And one of the kings wanted him to go and curse, you know, the children of Israel. And God told him, basically, he already knew that if he couldn't curse nothing that God had blessed, nothing or no one that God had blessed. And God's hand was upon Israel, his chosen people. And he blessed them on his own choice, by his own will, his own desire. And Balaam knew he could not curse those people, even though he's doing all kind of other crazy stuff. Amen. Anybody else have anything? I sure appreciate the conversation this morning. I pray that something was said this morning that would make us think, you know, make us realize that we can go boldly before God. And sometimes people will tell you what you can't do and what you can't do and how God's not going to do. I'm trying to really be careful to not say God ain't or God is, unless I know it's absolutely clear in the word, like God says he hates sin, right? He don't hate the sinner, but he hates sin. So we can absolutely say that he does, right? But when I say stuff that, like, you know, I'm not trying, God ain't going to do such and such. I don't know what, I don't know the mind of Christ like that. Some people might, but I can't. I'm trying to be really careful just not to say what God is not going to do. So if we had not had the last part of verse 10 in 1 Chronicles 4, God ain't gonna bless that kind of prayer. God ain't gonna grant that because you all about you. Really? So, like, speaking as if I know the heart of people when God's the only one that really knows our heart. I don't care how deep we might be. We're gonna miss some stuff because we're not omniscient, all knowing, but he is. And so for God to turn around and bless that request, Don't let people judge you about what you have before God. Yes, you can get wise counseling. Yes, you will have some people pouring into you, but you got to have a relationship with God by yourself, for yourself, so that you can know his voice. Because he said, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. You have to be in tune to God and connected and remain and abide in the vine so that you can hear clearly, because some stuff that sounds good may not be good for us. And some stuff that sounds like, okay, yeah, maybe you're right, maybe that wasn't God, might have just been God. And just because they didn't hear doesn't mean they get the right to tell you that it was or was not God. I don't know where that came from. Well, I know where that came from. I believe it's the Holy Spirit, because I did not think to say that. But some of you might be disqualifying even and canceling out when God is speaking to you and somebody's telling you that ain't God. Well, who made you the authority? I remember one day I was in a meeting and we were praying and I was speaking in tongues, and somebody that was, you know, an authority position. And she wasn't talking to me, but I heard her. God let me hear her. She said, that ain't tongues. Who made you the authority on heavenly language? I'm sorry. Okay. That's just my example of that. Really, who made us the authority on the absolute infinite mind of God? There's some things we know, yes, but we don't know it all. We know he's not going to lie. We know he's not going to go contrary or in opposition to his word. We absolutely know that. But with him dealing with individual people, I can't call everything, but he can. Hope that blessed somebody. Anybody have anything else?
Good morning, it's Krishanda.
Hey, Krishanda.
Isn't God grand? He's so good.
Yes, he is.
He's grand. So grand. I just felt so grateful when I heard the declaration this morning. I just felt just gratitude that despite what Jabez's mom named him, despite what the writer might have thought when he was writing, God had an intention. He knew both of them before they came to the earth, and he blessed them. Yes, indeed. I just felt a fresh washing, a fresh pouring in your declaration this morning, and just wanted to say thank you for sharing. God bless.
Amen. Thank you, Krishanda. Appreciate it. Thank you for opening your mouth. I know you're relatively new to the call, and we just appreciate your sound and your comments and not being afraid to speak. And even your words are encouraging. So thank you for that. Really appreciate that. Bless you, sis.
Good morning, anybody? Sister Lisa.
Hey, Pretty Patrice. How you doing?
Hey, wonderful. I just want to add that you always are so enlightening. And I know that God has a plan and a purpose for all of our lives. And we just need to walk in that purpose. So thank you for your declaration on this morning. God bless you, and I love you.
God bless you too, sis. Love you too. Amen. You are absolutely right. He does have a plan for our lives. And the thing we have to remember is not to get distracted. Not to get distracted by what we see, right? Because that ain't it. That is not it. It is not. It's a trick. It's a trap. It's a ploy of the enemy to get us sidetracked so that we miss the absolute blessings of the Lord, that we miss the absolute path. But I'm so grateful that the Holy Spirit, even when we take the bait, the bait of Satan, even when we take that bait, that he has a way of getting us right back on track. But I'm tired of losing ground because I've taken the bait through offense or through whatever it might be, cynicism, criticism, jealousy, whatever. I'm done with that. I'm like, God, thank you. Thank you for being patient with me and merciful and kind to get me to this point. And thank you for even where you're going to yet take me, because this is not the end all to be all. But I thank you that you're showing me how, as we do the work ourselves and look in the mirror, I think he calls it the mirror ministry, to examine ourselves and see where we really are and see if our behavior, our mannerism, our speech, our thought process, all that, if it's in line with God or if it's pleasing really to God. And that's my desire, is to be pleasing before him. And he says without faith, it's impossible to please God. But we that come to him must first believe that he is. And then he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek after him. When was the last time we sought after him diligently? When did we just show up and like, oh, okay. Right. So that whole part of seeking and finding and knocking and the door being open, man, and asking and receiving. I think when we ask and now we think about that scripture, we have an expectation that we're going to receive. And as we're knocking on the door, according to his will and his word, God, okay, this door is going to open up soon. And it may not be exactly when I want it to, because this time is not my time, right? And I don't get to force his hand, but by faith, faith is the thing that moves God. Not manipulate, but move. And because he knows our heart, he knows our motive, he knows our intent, he knows we came from dust. He made us. But he sees us where we shall be, and he knows what we need to get there. And even though he's already given it to us, he just hasn't unfolded it all to unfold it. He has just not allowed it to be revealed, right? Because there is a written word that we read, but there's also a revealed rhema word that as we need it, it becomes illuminated to us. Our eyes are open to it so that we can lay hold of it. We're not all on the same level. Headed in the same direction. Our journeys are different, and what we will encounter and experience and who we will encounter is very different. However, we can learn from one another on how to navigate through this thing called life and believe that God that began a good work in us, he shall perform it until the day of Christ Jesus. Amen. Love you, pretty Patrice. Thank you. I thank God for the work that he's doing in your life. I thank God for the doors that are opening. I thank God even for your capacity to receive more of him and to receive the agape love that he has for you, that showers you, that you would never doubt that ever again, ever again. And no, none of us are worthy. I'm so grateful to God. So great.
Amen.
Anybody else? Amen. Anybody else have anything?
Hello?
Hello.
Hey, sisters. Hi, you guys. This is Mona.
Hi, Mona. Doing good.
I was just thinking about the love. You know what I just really realized when you said that was how the receiving of God's love, I'm speaking of myself, that over all this time of how many times I've heard that and or whatnot, but until, like, really, to be honest with you, you know, the daily declarations on prayer victory and everything have opened me up to understanding of how to do that, you know, to receive it and understand, y'all. That is so important, because I remember so many people, even the pastor, you know, over the years, you know, have said that, but within me, I was like, yeah, I get it, but I wasn't getting it. You know what I mean? Because I just didn't understand how could he? Like, you know, but wow, I just thank God. Oh, thank you. Thank you, God.
Thank you,
Lord.
Wow.
Yes, Lord. To know that thank you, God. Him, to know he do love you. He do.
Yes, Lord.
Wow. Yes, you know. It's just the receiving. I just thank you. I thank you. I thank all you guys. You know, I love
y'all.
I love you. I know we're connected with your spirits. I know God put us here together for a reason. I know that. You know, bringing me onto this line because so much he has fed me. And it's through you guys. You know what I'm saying? And it's just so amazing how he works. Yeah. How he worked, he used heart, and I probably was going to never receive it just hearing it that way. You know what I mean? Wow.
Yes,
I get it. I just thank you. I just, for some reason, got overwhelmed with that. He loves that love. You know, love is just so amazing. You've got to receive it. And that's one of the things I remember, you know, Dion, even the book that you guys have requested that I met the woman to get, the forgiveness.
Yeah.
That's what it was. Yeah, opening up and receiving and understanding that. Mm-hmm.
Yes, Lord. It's
beautiful with you guys. And I still have to do that daily. All the time when I realized I got comfortable, like, wait a minute. I felt a little like something ain't right. Something ain't right. Oh, no, because you ain't you back just going with the norm. You know what I mean? No, get back. Mm-hmm. Get back to talking. And at once, you know, it's just I didn't beat myself up to that work. But again, you know, that what's that word I'm looking for when you just beat yourself up? Y'all know what I'm talking about.
Condemnation. Yeah.
Condemnation. Oh, God, Romans. Yes. 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 Oh, God, I was big on that, you know. But the love to have received from just dang, on this call and ain't met nobody but Missy. You know what I'm saying? But man, I feel like I done met everybody in a way. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And it's just beautiful. I love you guys. And I just, the love, receiving God's love, we got to receive it. I used to believe it for everybody else, but never believing it for myself, you know?
Yes, ma'am.
God, it's good. Thank you. I love you guys.
Thank you, Sister Mona. Miss Ma'am, we love you too. And we appreciate what God is doing. It is just so incredible when you really, really, I mean, because I'm like you, and I'm sure a lot of people on the call that's still here can testify that it's some one thing to hear it. But when you believe it, it changes your life.
Yes, it does.
Your life. Doesn't it? It changes your life. It changes how you see him, how you see yourself, how you see people, how you see the world around you.
Yeah.
It's like your eyes being opened to the glorious gospel for the first time again. It's like being restored back to that real first love, that love where he pursued us and drew us in, right, with that loving kindness and made us feel like we could even come. Man, this is like a, there's a song I was listening to yesterday, and it's talking about the all-consuming love of God. And Minister Philip did a declaration about love being violent. But this song talks about how his love, there's no mountain he won't tear down, or no mountain he won't climb, or no won't tear down, and no something he won't speak. There's nothing that he wouldn't stop to conquer and to defeat for his all-consuming, overwhelming love that he has towards us to get it to us. So what he has done for us, as our eyes are open to see and our capacity has been enlarged to receive, now we're in a place to receive. Because like you said, we heard it before and we heard it over and over and over again, but we didn't even have the capacity to receive it. Probably because forgiveness was taking place in that area where we needed the room, right? So as he dealt with the unforgiveness, as he deals with the offense and the bitterness, it makes room for, again, that new wine to be poured in, for his love to overwhelm us, for us to really experience what love, what manner of man exists, that he would have that kind of love for us, that he would send his son while we're yet sinners to die for us. We get to know a bit of depth, and I don't think we've experienced it all. The depth of the love and the lengths that he is willing to go through. And over in Romans, someone just, Pastor Van Hook, or somebody just read it recently about the love that, like, you know, no depth, no height, no principality, no power, nothing can stop or keep him from loving us. Yeah, that's over in Romans, I think, 8 and 31, somewhere over there.
Yes, it is. I think Pastor Phillips
that kind of love that he has for us. And truth be told, some of us are just now experiencing it in our 30s, 40s, 50s. And some of us have not experienced it yet because we are so bound by condemnation. Thank you, Mona. We're so bound by offense, and we're so bound by what has happened to us, and we're bound by the pain that we've experienced because of the labels and the offenses that have happened to us. I'm not saying they're not valid. I'm not saying they're real. Some stuff is going on in our lives that's been legitimate to cause us to be in the place that we are. But now that we are in Christ, we are new creatures. Old things have to be passed away. And behold, all things have become new. And that become new is a process of things becoming as God increases our capacity to receive more of him and enlarges our territory and expands our borders. People come in, and then we can recognize who to keep
and whom not, just even to mark and avoid, right? And so as he's brought us to the glory of victory, this is our tribe. This is our family. And you know that it is because we're learning and we're growing together. We're building up and edifying one another. We're sharpening the iron and we're teaching and we're being led and we're leading. Man. It's the body.
It is so beautiful. It's so beautiful.
Isn't
it really
it?
Is.
It's the body beautiful. Functioning. Yeah. It's manifestation of the body functioning. I believe the way God designed it. And I believe as we continue to press, we'll see more. We'll see greater, right? Amen. Thank you for bringing that out. Anybody else? Amen. Well, sometimes it's like you'll start off like I thought we were going to end early yesterday, and then Pastor Van Hook, you know, he was like, well, anybody else? And so I think Brother Eric or somebody started it, maybe Andrew, whatever. But once someone starts, it kind of pricks something in you that either prompts another question or a thought, or it may give you courage to open your mouth. And so when we first started the call, when Dion first started, the main thing her and Tan would always be saying was, and I got on like 3 months after it first started, so I've been here for a long time, over more than 5 years. She would say, open your mouth. And you know, anybody that, you know, is a thinker like I try to be, I'm sitting back and I'm examining and I'm weighing the matter and I'm seeing what's being said and I'm even trying to figure out, is this the tribe? I didn't know the word, I wasn't using the word tribe then, but is this the community that I'm going to, you know, yoke myself up with? Is this somewhere that I want to be? Because I didn't have time for foolishness. I knew I needed something different than what I was experiencing on every Sunday. And this is not to slight my church at all. Bible believing church full of the word, but I could tell in me that I needed something in addition, because I was becoming so religious and so cynical and so legalistic, and I didn't stop and really get into Romans and get that revelation through God. He was doing it by his spirit and telling me and drawing me somewhere else so that I could interrupt the path that I was on. Right. So oftentimes when we're on the path and we are not walking in truth, but we believe it to be true, the only thing that's going to interrupt our destiny is we encounter, are tackled with, faced with, have to deal with an opposing truth. Right. So what I was doing in my mind was justified by legalism and by what I had been taught and what I had come to believe. And maybe I wasn't taught that, but that's how my mind worked. Right. So it was all about being good enough. It was all about doing the right stuff. It was all about, you know, the behavior part of holiness. And so as I was striving to do that, it was just didn't feel right. And so as I began to learn and was starting to take seminary courses and starting to just do a little bit more to really get to know him, because that's the whole intent. It wasn't in the books and none of that stuff. It was as we seek him, as we draw nigh to him, he said that he would draw nigh unto us. And so I believe he was just increasing my capacity, as he's doing all of ours, to just receive more of him so that we could truly know him, right? That's the whole point of really even going to church. We go to serve, yeah, we worship and praise, but it's really to come out of there knowing more about him, therefore knowing more about ourselves and knowing more how to navigate through this life according to a way that's pleasing before him. And so he began to open my eyes, and through Declare Victory and through that whole open your mouth and through that, Dion was very clear about it not being a judgment zone and not being a, you know, whenever we got to the left, and some conversations did initially, she stepped in, we're not doing that. Y'all know how she thought. Y'all know how she did. And people understood and they shut it down, right? Because God had given that to her to be a safe place. And now as a result, it has really, I think, broadened and made room for the love of Christ in my heart. I know it has. So I'm grateful. I'm so grateful that I get to serve in a community and a tribe with people that I know you're my family because we're the body of Christ, but if I'll never see your face, I love you. And it makes it easier now for me to tell somebody that I just met that I love them. And I don't tack on with the love of Christ. No, no, no. It's not that. It's really that genuine love. And I think that's where we have to get. God, teach me how to love your people. Teach me how to love people. And those that I don't know, they belong to you because they're coming in. You've got some people that have not said yes yet. And so since I don't know who they are, my responsibility is to spread the gospel. It's simply to love. Not to judge, not to qualify or disqualify. Just to love people. So that's my striving, my desire to do that. And I'm so glad that I'm able to do that with you guys. So if nobody else has anything, it is 7:55, and I have to get dressed to get on the road. Again, pray for our safe traveling, and it's really wet out there. Does anybody else, before we go, have anything? I want you to know that I love you, and we say this, but God loves you the most, right? He loves you so much more. So if
Lisa,
hearing the word,
this is pretty yes, Patrice ma'am. Again. I'm yeah. asking for prayer.
Okay.
For my mind.
Yes. Amen.
That God will regulate my mind. And I'm saying it out loud because I already right. know what I'm in need of. I'm just asking right. that my family agree with me and pray with me.
Right.
That my mind be regulated right. and that it will be right. opened.
Yeah,
it will be directed in the path that God would have it directed in.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
That I retain the information that I am receiving, that I am reading.
Yes. Hallelujah. That you're retaining it so that you can regurgitate it, so that you can
yes.
process it, so that it can become real in you, so that when you open your mouth to speak, it will sound like an original thought, and it is. So we thank you, Father. So, God, we just thank you. So, come on, everybody. Let's just open our mouths, and we can end with a praise. God, I thank you for even the heart's desire to know you.
Thank you, Lord.
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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you,
Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Blessings to you all. I love you all to life.
Make this day great for Jesus. Bye, y'all.
Love you back.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Thank you, Laura.
Thank you,
everyone.
Amen.
God bless you guys. Have a blessed day. Thank you, guys. Love y'all.